The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler back with you here, 710 KNUS. My thanks to Stephen Tubbs and Priscilla Ron, and of course our friend Amy Duncan from Alpine Planning in the last hour. To kick off this hour, we are going to go to the VIP line. We had him on last week. I'm just going to presume that interview is what put you over the top, Dave Williams.
You know, George, anytime I can chat with you, it's always a boost to my popularity.
I've read that myself. Usually it's tweets I put out, but I believe that too. Congratulations on the big win on Saturday.
Thank you so much. I mean, we felt good going into it, but those were some tough competitors, and I got to say, Eric Adlin, that guy, he's great. We need to run him for office and get him elected because he's got a bright future.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up, too, because, and we didn't go through the details here, you lived it, but there were three total votes. The first vote had you at about 31.2%, Eric at 28.4%, and everybody else kind of made up the difference, whether it was Aaron Casper, Kevin, there are two Kevins, and Tina. And then the second round, I think a lot of folks who had initially come in and said, hey, I'm a Kevin Lundberg person, I'm a Tina Peters person, I'm a Casper person, they all thought, okay, I see this is going to be a two-horse race. And the second vote ended up with a lot of folks then shifting towards you and Eric, and it became Eric at 39.4, you at 44.1. And then there was a third round of voting, and you ended up pulling off, what, 54% of the vote?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
In between those votes, like between the second and the third, are there conversations with the other people that are running that at that point have to realize it's just not going to be my day?
Yeah, there were conversations. I certainly was running around to a few of the competitors, and I know Eric was too. And, of course, there were surrogates trying to do the same. These multiple candidate races, especially in this environment, since you have to have the majority, certainly lends itself to trying to build coalitions and, you know, get to that magic number of 50% plus one, and that's what we were both trying to do.
Now, I watched all of the speeches of the candidates for chair, not the other races, that were live streamed on the Women of Weld Facebook page, and you can go back and still watch them there. And we clipped out three different things. Your speech obviously got a great deal of applause. If we didn't cut all the applause into it, people ought to know when they go out there and get it. You got some pretty good applause from the base there. I wanted to go through just a couple pieces with you and let you expand on that. This is one where you talk about what we stand for.
Here's the deal. Our party doesn't have a brand problem. Our party has a problem with feckless leaders who are ashamed of you and ashamed of our conservative principles. They are embarrassed by our platforms, constantly apologize to the press and the Democrats for our values. We are the party that fights for the unborn and the Second Amendment. We are the party that defends the Constitution and supports the rule of law. We are the party that believes that government is too big and spends too much, and we are a party that stands for election integrity.
Now, you're the guy with his hands on the reins now. You're running the ship. In light of those things and the belief that, hey, we don't have a brand problem here in Colorado, what then, what are those first steps you, maybe you've already taken them, frankly, Dave, but what are those first steps you take to get us back on a winning track?
Well, I think we absolutely have to figure out what the marketplace wants in terms of issues. You know, I don't think our issue is whether or not we have the right ideology. I think the problem is, what does the marketplace want us to resolve? And if we can start doing that, we're going to start to win again.
Now, when you say what does the market, how do you do that? How do you put your finger on the pulse of that?
I think we need to work with other like-minded organizations. I think Advance Colorado comes to mind. I think Michael Fields is doing some great work there. But let's go ahead and do some independent polling, myself as well as with others, and let's compare notes. Let's try to figure out what top issues these swing voters care about. And then address those without compromising, you know, our ideology. And I think we can do that.
What is your sense of how Colorado, not our Republican Party, but the people outside the party, how they perceive the Colorado GOP? And does that need to change?
Yeah, you bet. I think we do need to start gaining back some trust. And I don't think it's necessarily, you know, an issue that we've done on our own. I think the Democrats have done a pretty good job painting devil horns on our head and making us look evil and showing that, well, them trying to show to the public that we're not aligning ourselves with the issues they care about. If we can kind of start to combat that that narrative and throw some punches at Jared Polis, I think we're going to start to make some gains.
Here's another clip you're going to talk about here about going on the offense. Let's just hear this real quick, and then I'll ask you what you mean by that.
It's time we go on the attack. It's time we go on offense, offense, offense. We need a wartime leader who will boldly articulate our conservative America First agenda while going toe-to-toe with the radical Democrats every chance we get. We need a conservative champion who will be fearless as we march against the crooked Democrats to expose how out of touch and corrupt they are.
Now, that got a lot of applause. I'm sorry we didn't cut in the applause part, but that was really well received. I think it was watching it and listening to the room. I think it was they wanted somebody to say, we're going to be aggressive. We're not going to be responsive. We're going to be proactive instead of reactive. So now that you're here, what are those offensive steps? And I ask it in this context, Dave. Look, the media ain't ours. Right. Like they haven't been forever. There's just no TV station anywhere in the metro area that seems to want to tell a story that is favorable to conservatives under any circumstances. How do we go on the offensive moving forward?
Sure. And I, you know, George, that's a very good point. The media is just an extension of the Democrat Party. So we got to get around them. And we will obviously engage them when necessary and in the most favorable way for ourselves. But we're not going to rely on them anymore. The other thing we need to do is we need to start really looking into these Democrats, especially the target races that we're going to be looking at. The best thing we can do is figure out where their dirty laundry is and air it out to the public. The best example I can give you at the moment, because it's most recent, is Tracy Barnett.
Oh, yeah.
From, well, wherever she lives. Right? She broke
right,
the law.
Right. Nobody knows. Yeah. We just know right. It's not in her district.
Right. If we can expose those types of crooked Democrats, which I assure you there are plenty, and then start to, you know, connect them to all the Democrats because they're complicit and they're allowing this type of corruption, we're going to start kicking their butts.
Is the definition then of go on the offense in the context in which you use it on Saturday up in Loveland, the idea that, listen, we just need to negative has a negative connotation. I don't know how else to describe it, but we need to go on a negative attack, basically, and do to the Democrats what we feel like they've been doing to us all this time, which is they don't really highlight the positives of their policies. They really just attack individual Republicans and try to make them seem unpalatable to voters. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, one, we want to demonstrate that they're wrong on the issues, but two, we want to speak to their character. When you're like Tracy and you want to break the law so you can have power at any cost, you're morally flawed, and we're going to start to tell that story and that narrative of the voters because they don't want that kind of leadership. That's the type of stuff that's ruining our country and the voters know, and we can win on those grounds.
Now, we can certainly do that here on talk radio, but that's just a small part of the bigger pie. We can't do it really successfully through the media. It seems like they have to be forced to tell a story that doesn't sing the left song. How do we get that message out?
Sure. Well, it's going to require a lot of fundraising so we can go ahead and directly market, you know, to the targeted voters that we need to target. It's also going to take some good old-fashioned grassroots activism and organization so we can also rely on word-of-mouth stuff. But I think through a combination of our own efforts and working with other like-minded third-party organizations, we're going to get the message out that these guys are a bunch of crooked bastards who are, you know, bad on the issues, but also morally bankrupt. We do that, we're going to make some gains. We're going to win.
Can I play another clip for you? This is one not much farther on from what you just said about our issues.
Our issues are winning issues. And like President Ronald Reagan said, bold colors, not pale pastels. If we build a clear contrast, put Democrats on defense, and align ourselves with voters without compromising, then we will win again.
Now, I believe our positions are certainly the right positions, absolutely. But when you say our issues are winning issues, what are you speaking to?
I think there are some common things that any voter, I don't care what political stripe they may be, I think they ultimately care about the things we care about. If we're talking about personal empowerment, if we're talking about less government intrusion in their lives, if we're talking about making sure that government is working for them and it's transparent and isn't filled with corrupt individuals, we can start to go on those things and build common ground from there, then we can certainly expand into the issues they care about and align with them on resolving those issues they care most.
Well, let me ask you about two of them that seem to get a great deal of attention from the media, and I think therefore become issues for the ballot as well. One is pro-life. We're a pro-life party, man. That's just it, right? Like, not every candidate seems to subscribe to that the same way. But do you think that is a winning issue Colorado-wide? And I ask it in this context, too. We have, as you know, and you've said something like this before, we have some of the most liberal, permissive abortion laws on the planet Earth here in Colorado. What can we do on that issue to make it a winning issue for us?
We got to start to frame it in a way that really exposes how extreme Democrats are. For the longest time, they always put us on the defense, right? They're always asking us the questions where maybe only affects 1% or a couple percentage points of the population or instances of abortion. Let's flip the script and start asking them, okay, well, what about your extremism? Let's talk about how come you want to spend taxpayer dollars so that, you know, children could very well be killed even after they're born. These types of things, if we start asking those questions and directing our fire at Democrats, then we're going to win. We can't keep getting kicked in the teeth over this, and we're never going to run away from it. So let's wade into it and start throwing punches.
I like the idea. I'm concerned because remember we had just a couple years ago, we had that due date too late ballot question issue on there that was designed to say, okay, I get it. There's a certain amount that you're not going to tolerate in terms of abortion. Let's find out what that is, and let's set a certain period of time after which you could not have. And it got crushed, man, at the polls. What do we do with that kind of data?
You know, I think a part, you know, in terms of how strategy, I think we really need to get all the pro-life groups together and kind of get on the same page on this one. I think the problem with that particular issue was the Democrats were lockstep unified in their messaging, which was false. I mean, they lied to the public on why it was not the best policy, so that's a problem in and of itself. But our side's got to really start hammering home that these guys, they'll kill any baby. They don't care. If it's a black baby, they'll kill a black baby. If it's a sex selection abortion, they're going to go ahead and engage in that. If it's a girl, Down syndrome, everything's on the table for them. There, no baby can escape their scalpel. I think if we start doing that, we're going to win.
Well, that's a tough line there. No baby can escape their scalpel. That's a winner right there. Let me ask you about the other issue that seems to be the du jour issue, and that is guns. Man, as you know, every single legislative session, there is some effort to try to carve back the Second Amendment. They've had a slate of bills. This is even before the semi-automatic weapons ban that they've had, including one that's been getting a lot of attention, the three-day waiting period. Are we on the winning side of that issue with Colorado voters? Certainly in terms of the Constitution, I think we are. And certainly with our group, I think that we are. But are we with the state of Colorado? Where's the room for us to carve back some of what they've done?
I think we're absolutely on the winning side. And what you're seeing from the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans, they're really stepping up their game in terms of building a contrast. I mean, I saw a number of amendments that they put forward. If you're a domestic abuse survivor, or there's a legitimate problem with respect to a stalker or someone that's going to give you harm, then you shouldn't have to be waiting, you know, 3 days in order to protect yourself. And if we're talking about raising the age from 18 to 21, you shouldn't have to wait 3 years in order to protect yourself. I mean, these are some great votes that have occurred. And if we start telling the truth and telling the public, hey, these guys are putting people in unnecessary harm and danger, they're crooked and corrupt, they have blood on their hands, especially if there's a victim, then we're going to win.
We're talking with Dave Williams. He's the newly elected GOP chair for the state of Colorado. Where do you think, let me ask this. When I listened to the speeches, like I said, I listened to all of them. I was listening for some key things in there. And one of the things that I did not hear in your speech, and please correct me if you think it was in there and I just screwed it up because that's possible, but I did not hear in your speech the discussion of party unity. And the reason it stuck out to me was so many other candidates, as you know, were up there preaching it as a central part of their 5-minute speech. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I only had about 4 minutes, and so I wanted to certainly touch on the thing that I thought the committee really wanted. But unity was, you know, talked about a little bit in the speech. It basically boiled down to this: let's unify around our common principles and wanting to go on offense to kick the Democrats out of office. You know, that's one thing I think that certainly unifies us when we fix our fire at Democrats. But after the speech, I certainly got up there, after the election results came up, I certainly got up there with Eric and I stressed the point that all of us need to work together. There's not one faction of our party that's going to win on their own. So let's get to work about being a winning team again by pushing our issues and defeating Democrats.
Well, I did not see that part, Dave, and that's on me for not watching what happened after that. I'm glad to hear that, and I think that goes a long way towards starting the process. We touched on a little bit last week, but now that you're the dude, you're the guy in charge, what steps do you need to make in order to try to bridge that gap between the folks who think that they've been ostracized as being labeled as rhinos or establishment or asswipes or whatever it is, and the conservative grassroots part of the party?
Well, I need to go meet with them personally. You know, people like Dick Wadhams, for instance, I have a lot of respect for him. He's a winner, and he certainly knows a thing or two about how to manage a party. I'd love to personally sit down with him, pick his brain, and figure out what we can do to build coalitions. You know, I'll need his help. I'll need everyone's help. This is a team sport. This isn't about me. It's about kicking, pardon my French, the shit out of Democrats because they don't deserve to be in power, and I think that's something we can all agree on.
Let me ask this too. Is there a formal role for Tina Peters in the party under your leadership, or is she just going to work from the outside?
I've extended a formal role for everyone to include Tina. So that's Eric, that's Aaron, that's Casper. Forgive me.
Lundberg,
Kevin
Lundberg.
Kevin.
Yeah, the Kevins.
Oh.
Yep.
And Tina. I mean, this is something that we all promised on the campaign trail, and you know, especially for anyone that wants to help me succeed, I'm going to certainly do it. With respect to Tina, you know, she has a network of nationally well-funded friends that can bring money in for our party. I'm not going to turn that away.
When you say I offered formal roles to each of them, what were they?
Well, we haven't figured out sort of those job titles yet, but I've said if you want a formal role in this party, you got one. So we'll work out the details, you know, after the election.
Some of the stuff you get to do is to pick like an ED, like an executive director. Do you know who you're going to put in that spot?
No, not yet. In fact, I'm not even certain we're going to have a traditional ED title to begin with. I really want to go in there and reorganize the structure and see what makes sense. Ultimately, the ED has kind of been an administrative assistant or a chief gopher type. We're certainly going to need that, but I haven't decided yet how we're going to structure things. But with respect to your question, we're going to have an open process. If anyone wants to apply, they can apply, and we'll go interview them and see who fits best.
Also, I know that you're now going, I don't know how it changes in terms of pace, but you're focused on making sure that that case moves forward, gets filed and moves forward on Republicans electing Republicans, you know, on us having a primary system where people that aren't on our team don't actually get to pick our team captains, which makes a lot of sense to me. What do you do formally in terms of next steps? Can you somehow push that into high gear, or is it a matter of sort of just the slow, tedious pace that exists and we're just stuck with it?
Well, you know, I think there's a little bit of a learning curve for me. I'd like to sit down with our party attorney and see what our options are. I'd really like to go back to those who, you know, tried to have the lawsuit done through the Claremont Institute and see what we can do in that lane, especially since they had more immediate funding than we did. So it's to be determined. We'll certainly, that's a campaign promise that we all made, so I'm going to certainly follow through on it. It's just a matter of giving me a little time to figure out how to go about it.
This just got sent to me, Dave. Tweet from Tina replying to something, but she says, hey, this is great. She speaks of all my national friends. Wait until she sees who's executive director. that's really going to blow her mind. Wait for it, taking back Colorado. You have any idea what that's about?
I can't explain anyone else's tweets but mine, but I certainly assure you we're going to have good staff. And Tina, again, she's a part of the team.
Yeah.
Got to work out the details, but there's not likely to be an executive director title, so... That's
something.
What I got for you.
Dave, I appreciate that. And we'll continue to talk with you about this. I also wonder now that you have you've grabbed hold of the brass ring, you're about to be a dad for the third time that you know of. I'm kidding. Third time. That's going to make the Williams household a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yep. We're excited about the baby coming. And, you know, while I'm trying to help my wife get through this birth, we're going to go ahead and empower Priscilla and Anna to take the reins a little bit, take a little pressure off me, and it's a team sport. All fall on my shoulders.
What are the age of the kids?
So my first is 6, and my second, she's almost 2. So we're going to have a lot of young ones running around.
Dave, listen, Billy and I were talking off air. This turns out to maybe have been the most genius dad move ever, and that is, as soon as a new baby comes with a household of 3 kids, 6 and under, you're like, honey, I've got to go save the state. I'm sorry, I can't do another diaper. Daddy's got to go do stuff. You're a genius if that's what this was all about. My hat's off to you, friend. That's huge.
Thank you so much. I get some things right.
Yeah. Dave Williams, he is the state party chair for the GOP. I imagine things are going to change a bit, and we're going to be watching and hoping to hear from you and Priscilla and the rest of the team as you guys move forward.
Yeah, you bet. I'll be around, and it won't be boring.
No, I believe you on that. Thanks. That's Dave Williams, the chair. Listen, hey, we're going to cut away for a break. Not until I tell you about our good buddy Gay Ribble. You're talking about someone who has been at the top of her game for decades now. Although you don't know it looking at her. She doesn't look like she could be old enough to have that kind of experience, but she does. And the Reynolds and Power Home team of Keller Williams, these are folks that have been saving people money and time. And that's their business, man. It's not just getting you out of your house and into another house. It's making the experience stress-free, pleasurable, and saving you money. Making you money and saving you time. How could you want anything different? This real estate market right now, especially in Colorado, it's bizarre. It's bizarre in that you hear things like, oh, well, prices for these houses have come down. And then the next article says, we still have such low supply, the demand isn't up. These prices are starting to creep back up. And you wonder, how do I time this thing? You can't know that. Gay can. Empower Home Team can. They're the people that you call. That's why you pick up the phone and dial 833-301-SOLD, 833-301-SOLD. You can check them out at GayHasTheBuyers.com, because she does. Gay is G-A-Y-E, HasTheBuyers.com. They'll tell you all about the programs and the plans they have. The Sold in 5 program. Sound intriguing? I'd like it sold in 5. You get 6.1% on average more than other realtors, and that's within 5. You can go to their free stuff too, Empower Home Free Workshops, empowerhomefreeworkshops.com. Check them out, give them your business, and then let me know how it goes. Reach back out. You can text us, you can email us. Heck, you could even call us and say, I worked with Gay. Thank you so much, because that's my guess. That's what we hear from people off the air. That's Empower Home Team. You check them out. 833-301-SOLD. George Brockler on the George Show. Before we cut away though, let me say this. I want to hear from you. That's the new chair of the state GOP. What did you hear in there that gives you hope? What did you hear in there that makes you think, are we going to be able to pull this off? What is it you expect from this party moving forward? I know Dave is all ears. I am too. 303-696-1971. Let's have that conversation right here. You tell me. What does Dave need to do, and is he the guy that's now going to get it done for us? 303-696-1971. George Brockler on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on 710 KNUS. My thanks to Dave Williams. He's the newly elected chair of the state GOP party. We're hoping to have Dave on a regular basis along with Priscilla just to give us that inside scoop. And frankly, I'm interested to know how much of this starts to pay dividends and when. I mean, it can't be that the party has completely turned a different direction overnight or in a week or so, but it would be interesting to see when we start to feel some of that traction. And we may not know until we get to, one, the vote about whether or not to stay in the current primary system pending that litigation that they're engaged in, and two, what happens in this election cycle. And there is an election cycle. I mean, look, Aurora is going to have elections for mayor and city council in November. I can't believe it's going to have already been a year and a half now. We're coming up on 2 years. It's crazy. By the way, I'm looking at footage of these people storming these people, these otherwise illegals storming. We do have sound of this, don't we? Hang on one sec here, and then we'll get back. And Gary, I promise you the other folks at 303-696-1971 will get here. It looks like the beginning of a race, like the Beta Breakers race up there. But hang on, this is what it says. Not the sound of the throngs cheering on Dave after his victory up in Loveland this past Saturday. Instead, it's about 1,000 plus, at least 1,000 is how it's been described, of folks who don't belong in the country. And by belong, I mean don't have legal status here and apparently are just interested in coming in by whatever means necessary, because they stormed the Paso del Norte, which we were just at. I mean, we must have been there 2-3 times during the week that 710 was down at El Paso, thanks to Steve Wells from Colorado Deep Wells, or Deep Wells Colorado IEC. That imagery up there, it looks like it's a marathon about to start. You know what I mean? Like just thousands of people running down the road trying to get across the bridge to overwhelm the people there, like they deserve to be here, or they have a right to be here without going through the legal process. I'm sorry, man. It's just, it's offensive to me. And again, it's not a question of, hey, America just offers better opportunities. I get it. Duh. I was privileged, man, to be born here. I understand. But this idea that we're just going to force our way in, like my desires trump your laws, and frankly, my country is such a dumpster fire and there's no way I can fix it, I insist on becoming an American and you're just going to have to absorb me. I don't know, folks. This is just dramatic. Anyway, listen, we've got callers on the line here to talk about our interview with Dave Williams and the GOP, and I want to start right away here with Gary. Gary, you're on 710. What do you think?
Oh, good morning, George. Good morning. You sure that wasn't a clip of the people trying to get their money out of SVP?
That could have been the same thing. Actually, it's the sound of them once they were told the feds are coming to the rescue. Yay!
You know, the one thing that I think is that Dave Williams,
said
that was very encouraging. You know, the host of your fake talk show about a year ago before the election was saying how Dick Wadhams was out of touch and he had a losing record. And Dick Wadhams came on his show and pretty much tore him a new one, explaining all of his, I didn't even realize the series of successful campaigns that he ran. So when Dave Williams said that he was going to open the door and get Dick Wadhams involved, I thought there might be hope, because I listened to Dick Wadhams this past Saturday on Peter's show. He was there for the entire show, and he just made all the sense in the world, and I think he could turn this ship around.
I was really heartened by that, too. I told Billy off air the fact that he said, look, I want to reach out to Dick Wadhams, and I want to have a conversation, even if he doesn't agree with Dick on whether it's philosophy, ideology, you know, the nuts and bolts of campaigning in the modern era. That's not as relevant to me as the idea that he knows that he and Dick don't appear to be on the same page at this moment, and he's going to try to do that. That may be the single biggest gesture towards trying to encourage party unity that he could do. That's a big public one right there. What about the other things that Dave said? Do you think Dave is on the right track towards putting the Republican Party back into a winning posture?
No, it sounded like the same old song and dance. I didn't hear anything innovative or different. So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping Dick Wadhams maybe can give him some ideas. I mean, Dick, even if you disagree with him, he knows strategy. And I don't know that Dave Williams yet knows what a winning strategy is. So, but I'm open to, you know, give him a shot.
when you hear Dave say, look, our issues are winning issues, and I talked to him about this, the two in particular that come to mind where I worry that Colorado's voting demographic has changed enough that maybe these aren't winning issues for us, and that is the pro-life position and the pro-Second Amendment position. Not because I think we need to change on those. I'm not sure where we're at right at this moment can be construed a winning posture. What do you think about that, Gary?
No, I think you're right. I think you're right in that. You know, you've got to talk to our base. You know, there's a large Hispanic base. There's a large non-white base, and things are more liberal. You know, when it comes to abortion, you know, we voted that down twice. So,
which is just mind-boggling to me, because the legislature, I get it, they're not composed in such a way that they're ever going to do anything to limit someone's ability to get an abortion up through age 18 or something. But the fact that the voters rejected it the way they did, that to me was eye-opening, especially that due date too late, which I thought had real potential. I thought it made a lot of sense, and even that got beat.
Yeah, you got to think about the masses, not your own personal opinion on these things if you want to get elected. That's the reality.
Gary, thank you so much for the phone call, my man. Gary's line is open, 303-696-1971. We have full lines, but otherwise, just keep calling in. What did you hear with Dave? And is Dave going to be able to right the ship? Now, I realize it's not just Dave, and Dave said that at the end, man. I've got other folks that need to help out, including Priscilla, and if I'm saying it right, Anna or Anna, who became the secretary. It's a big, heavy lift, but man, when you're the top of that pyramid, people aren't going to look south of you for responsibility. They're going to look to you for it. What did you hear there? 303-696-1971. Dan, you're on 710.
Hi, George. I'm glad the caller went, who was in front of me. You picked up his line first. I really do not trust, like a lot of people around the state, I do not trust, this is why the state party is in such a tug of war, because there's a lot of us who absolutely do not trust the wing of the party that is represented, the front facing of Dick Wadhams and the last Republican governor, blanking on his name
Governor Owens.
Bill Owens, who was a cheerleader for that huge tax increase, with the trains and everything. And there's a lot of us, I'd say 50% of us, maybe not quite that, but approaching it, that absolutely do not trust that wing of the party. However, we do have to work with them. That said, we do have to work with them. And like the last caller, you said that he does have some things he's good on strategy and all. And I've never heard that from Dick Wadhams or Bill Owens, that wing of the party that just we have to get along, and we're constantly playing defense. No, we do have. You asked us a while ago, what did you hear in his speech?
Yeah.
I would say when he said we have to go on offense, man, that's exactly how you win games. You don't win the Super Bowl by playing defense. You win by going on offense. It's like that in life. You don't grow a business by sitting there. Oh well, I'm not going to do as much. Like okay, let's take one of those banks that collapsed last weekend. SVP in California. Well, they don't sit there. Well, let's just not horn in on too much of Citigroup's market, and then we'll get some more, I guess. No, you have to go on offense. It's like that with everything in life, and that includes politics. That's all there is to it. And, I mean, you mentioned before the last caller that you were shocked that voters, you said that I can see where the legislature is currently constituted would not vote in favor of the pro-life bill that, none and two and done, that was turned down by the voters. Just remember that state legislature, the way it's composed, as you said, was put in place by who? The very voters who rejected it. It all goes back to, go to the bottom, the voters. We have to educate them as to what is the proper role of civil government in a civilized society.
Is it possible that the voters know all that and they just reject our version of it? Like, they're just like, no, we're pro-choice and we're into gun regulations and restrictions on the Second Amendment. I mean, is it possible that that's where they're at?
I think there's some of those people of that mindset, even from California. I will say that they came here. I will say that I don't think all of them from California are of that mindset. More of them than not maybe are, but I don't I really would not paint a broad brush and say everybody is like that, because that's losing, you're losing opportunity. You're cutting yourself off from a possible opportunity to make a gain. I think some of it is that they just, they know it, but it hasn't been presented to them in the way that, look at the way the left presents things. We don't do that. It's spreadsheets, and this is this, and it's spreadsheets. And we, you know, like someone said, after Christmas, someone said, our idea, the right's idea of voter mobilization is swoop into a community 3 weeks before an election. And that is not the way you do it. I mean, that's not what the left does. They fund and build offices. They build relationships, which is what you have to do in business and anything else in life. They build relationships in communities so that when it comes time for the ask, vote for us 2 years from now, people will vote for them.
Dan,
you know what? We've never tried
Dan,
that. Let's
Dan,
try
forgive it. Me. I've only got a few seconds left with you, but I want to ask these as examples. You talk about going on the offense. My recollection of Heidi Ginnall's campaign was it was pretty attacked. I mean, it was on the attack all the time. And Lauren Boebert, man, she's no wilting flower here. She is constantly
neither of them are, but I don't think either of them have the level of support from the state party that is required. I mean, yes, Lauren won by surprise, I think, but I mean, she has a following all over the country. But I mean, Heidi's run for governor, she did not have the support either monetarily, financially, or otherwise, and I think that's more important. Logistically, let's get people out.
They were on the offensive, and let me say this: the state party cannot help a candidate win more than the candidate can help themselves win. I mean, the party is not built to have enough money to make a difference. They just can't.
No, but we need to, I think we need to start thinking in terms of that, and that this is not politics is not an election season, 6 months before election. It's full time for the rest of your life thing. You know, you have a business, you have a family, you go to church, you politics, make that part of the pie of life. That has to be part of the pie of life for conservatives. That's all there is to it. Because you know what? We have the winning, yes, we have the winning ideas, but we also have truth and human nature on our side. The left does not. They spend a lot of time and money to, to women, you don't really want to bear children, even though they are.
I hear you on having the right positions, Dan. I agree. I don't think it's a question of educating the public. I think the public knows exactly where we stand on these issues, and the majority of them, not everybody, the majority of them just reject it. I mean, that our problem may not be that we're right or wrong. Our problem may be that we're just disagreed with.
I think it's that we're not presenting our argument in a way that they can accept. I mean, I've heard for all the years that I've been here in Colorado, which is coming on 20 years, we have to reach out to the minority community. I go and I ask county party, state party, what are we doing? How can I help? I don't know who you talk to, is the response that I get more times than not. Not always, but more times than not. I'm like, come on. I mean, if we're really serious about it, let's do it. But until we get serious about it, and maybe this is a push that we need, maybe this is a turning, but, you know, maybe the party is turning a corner here with Dave Williams. Maybe it won't be done completely. I get that. But, you know, if we're
Dan,
going in that
Dan,
direction,
I'm sorry, buddy. I got to get to it. I've given you a great time to talk about it, and thank you for it. I appreciate that. It's a good conversation to have. Dan's line is open at 303-696-1971. Billy is threatening me now if I don't get to a break. But Mary and the other folks calling in right now on the open line, we will get to you. You just stick around. It's George Brockland on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here, 710 KNUS. Mary, you're on 710. What do you think? What did you hear with Dave?
I have a suggestion. Why don't we get on the Hispanic stations and the Black stations? And when you go around Denver, all the Hispanics are listening to the Spanish stations. It would be, since we don't have the newspapers or the TV, radio is it. And that's what they do all day long when they work.
Mary, it's a great idea. I should tell you, though, it's one that we've been doing for many, many years now. Even when I ran for attorney general, we invested a decent chunk of funds into getting the message out on the Spanish language stations. And in Spanish, I went around and actually did live interviews on the biggest Spanish stations in Denver, multiple interviews over the course of the election. So it's not that we're not doing that. I mean, I wonder, Mary, if at some point, do you leave open the possibility that the majority of Coloradans just disagree with us? Like, they know what we're talking about. They know what we stand for. They just don't buy it.
Well, that was several years ago. Things are a lot worse now.
But I'm telling you, every campaign at the statewide level shows up and does ads on the Spanish language stations. That's for sure. I mean, no one would say no to that. In fact, I know that probably folks in office have been doing tremendous outreach over the years for that. So I get that. I'm interested, though, what do you think some of the other things we ought to be doing to get this message out? Dave talks about going on the offensive. I love the idea, but what does it mean?
It means getting around the media somehow.
What do you think? What do you think would be effective for you? Now, you're already on the team, but what do you think would be effective for your peer group that aren't already Republicans?
Well, I'm 88 years old, and I live in a retirement community, and I have no idea how people feel.
When you talk with the folks in your retirement community, are they all Republicans? And if not, why not?
Nobody knows. Nobody's talking.
Why? Do you think they're scared to be canceled, or do you think that they're scared that there's a Dem or a Republican out there that's opposed to them? Wouldn't you guys talk about this? Like, when you get together, whether it's for socialization or whatever group activity you have, nobody throws out the old, hey, how about that Biden?
Nobody talks politics.
Really? Is that a good thing?
No, and I have suggested before that people our age are sort of left out. And we're not too affected, but there is no place for us to go. Everything is at night in Denver.
No, thank you.
Smaller groups where you can express an opinion. I am going tomorrow night, now that it's light longer, to the, what do we call them? Tomorrow night. None of us want to go to downtown Denver.
No, believe me, I get it. And Mary, by the way, thank you for that call. I've had texts from a friend of mine who is a former police officer, who was like, it was just so different. I hadn't been down to Denver in a long time. Took my wife. It was crazy. Listen, let me tell you before we cut away, though. The safe injection site bill, this HB 1202, it's made it out of the House, folks, by a pretty considerable margin, only two Democrat defectors. And it's headed to the Senate. It looks like the only way to stop this is by getting a hold of Governor Polis and changing his mind. So do it at 710KNUS.com and go to that Colorado Undivided banner. Click on the petition, sign it, and let's try to stop this thing. Brought to you by Deep Colorado Wells, IEC registered agent Stephen Wells, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Hey, listen, when we come back, I want to keep the conversation going with you here. What is the GOP brand? What should the brand be? And what are our issues that are winning? What are our winning issues that will help us get to where we want to be? And Dave Williams is now tasked with getting us there. 303-696-1971, George Brockler, 710-KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.